Well, good evening and a very warm welcome one and all to the dramatic return of Dr. Rock's radio show to peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking sovereign solutions. We had somewhere over an hour of technical hassles there, pushing buttons, but we do seem finally to have got online after about 4 weeks' break. We continue to have substantial challenges with our automotive machine, which seems to only be working for 24 hours at a time before costing us a whole wad. We use the machine for charging batteries and stuff, which is where our electricity comes from. So it's kind of challenging access to electricity and gaming tokens one way or the other. But that has meant that I've had a bit of a rest from the internet. I've had a lot of time to talk to people and to read up on things that I've been wanting to read up on for a long time. And it also means that because we can't get around so readily, we're one way or the other experiencing cosmic scheduling, as we like to call it, which means that we kind of are where we can get to and we do what we need to do whilst we're there. And that has meant me meeting lots of interesting folk over the last 4 or 5 weeks or so, and doing a lot of interesting work as well. There's plenty of photographs of it. So we've been stacking up a fair bit of material one way and the other. Obviously, tonight's show is going to be a little bit shortened as a result of losing the first hour of it. One of the conclusions that I've reached a long time ago, and I know is shared by many people on the station and on others, is that one of the major challenges that we're facing is access to land, and especially access to land for people who know how to use it and what to do with it and who have the enthusiasm to do that effectively when they get hold of a patch. One pair of people that I've met over the last few days are called Dan and Amy, and they're running an absolutely fabulous 27-acre project outside Glastonbury called Plotgate, which sounds like some kind of political scandal, but actually it is it's a really beautiful place. And I'm hoping over the next 2 or 3 days to get some time to chat to them, because they've been a bit busy, really, to get anything on the record. So shortly we'll be hearing from them and hopefully seeing some photos as well of the fantastic work they're doing. Another conclusion that I reached some fair while ago is that, as well as access to land, we do need once more to get access to real community, and we need to find ways of actually making community work for us, because the tendency for us to become separate from one another, separate from the world in which we live, separate from the earth, separate from nature, has really seems to have embedded in so many people the idea that community is not possible. We've had another crack at that as well. There was a unity gathering last weekend where, again, there were plenty of interesting people to talk to, but because I was the coordinator of volunteers, I was really fully involved in that for really every hour of every day that I was there. But that experience as well has led to some very interesting conclusions, which hopefully we'll get a chance to look at in later shows. What I was hoping to do this evening was give a bit of an introduction to the current state of physical thought, the thoughts of physicists as to how this apparently concrete world actually works around us. I was going to use an essay from Robert Anton Wilson's Illuminati papers, which he wrote several years after the Illuminatus books. The essay is called Beyond Theology, The Science of Godmanship. That is something that is going to have to wait till next week now, because I'd really like to tackle the interviews that I got earlier on today. The reason why I wanted to do the quantum physics thing is because some of the stuff that we're going to be talking about is described by many people as woo-woo or pie in the sky. Now, my own personal experience, and I know many of your experience of this stuff, is that that is not the case. What is very interesting to me is that the physicists seem to be offering the best explanations for why complementary healing works, why prayer works, why, I don't know, psychokinesis, telepathy, clairvoyancy, all of these things, why it is that when we as entities concentrate, as conscious entities concentrate on these things, why it is that they can be made to work for us. Now, the first conversation that I'd like to play to you, I had earlier on this afternoon with a man that I only met yesterday. His name's Karmas Singh, and his latest book of many is called The Anatomy of Luck. and its little subtitle is A Course in the Practical Application of Quantum Physics. Now, Karma's not the only person who's, not the only individual who's putting out there the idea that we make our own luck, that we, that life is happening not to us, but because of us. We heard in several shows that I did with Rob Freeman that he feels that the reason why his techniques, practices are working is not because they're supposed to work technically, but because of his intent. And one of the things that he says is that you need to be able to visualize and feel whatever it is that you're after as being already in your possession. That as soon as you ask for something that you haven't got, what you're putting out into the universe is a sense of need rather than a sense of having got what you need. And I know that Rob feels very strongly about this, and he's not the only one involved in the work we're doing who does. Having come back from the Unity Gathering, I borrowed a book that was published in 1937 called How to Think Yourself Rich and Be Rich. Can't quite remember the name of the guy that wrote it at the moment, but basically he's coming up with the same kind of argument as Rob is. He's got a technique which should suggest that if you concentrate and use the methods he recommends and concentrate single-mindedly on, in his case, generating money, then you will generate money, and that this has been successfully done by many of the apparently rich people that we see around us. He does occasionally say money or its material equivalent, meaning, of course, still some kind of wealth. But actually, these principles are applicable to anything, it seems to me, that we choose to do. As I said, I'd hope to demonstrate that physics was behind us on this, but we haven't really got the time for that tonight. Serena Roney Dougal, when she was on the show, was another one who was fairly insistent that that it is the world being revealed to us through quantum physical theory which lies behind many of the psychic events that she spent her life examining. And in fact, whilst things like clairvoyance and telepathy and poltergeists seem like a complete mystery and a Newtonian world of local cause and effect, they are actually explicable in terms of the new physics. So we had Rob Freeman, How to Think Yourself Rich, Serena Roney Dougal and her Scion Fairy Law, all looking at what appears to be a very malleable world, and that the reason why it's malleable is because of the operation of conscious, and of course most of us like to think of ourselves as conscious beings. Karma's latest book, I've only had a chance to look at it briefly, but I'm hoping he will come on the show at some point when I've had a chance to look at it in more detail. We talked about several things. We talked about health and healing, because that's one of his main interests. We also talked a little bit about his book. We also talked about something that I don't know about you, but I was completely unfamiliar with material that he's suggesting is going on in Germany at the moment, which we get into a little bit more detail. It would appear that the state of Germany has been, there has been no state of Germany, I think he says, since 1935. He explains why that's the case, and he also explains how it is that somebody provided a legislative method by which the state can be changed into something else by through a referendum with the people. So we talk a little bit about that as well. So the first thing I want to play is the chat that I had with Karma this afternoon. And then probably a little bit of music just to relax, give you a bit of a break. And then what I want to do is play an interview that Karma did with a lady called Juliette Cotter. And Juliette is a member of the Avalon Rising team. She's a speaker and presenter for Avalon Rising and part of the crew as well, along with her partner Wayne. And it's been my intent to talk to Juliette for some time, and I've been staying with her for the last few days, so I thought I might be able to talk to her then. But as it is, being as Karma had a chat with her, I thought I'd record that and play that to you instead. But we'll start off with Karma Singh talking about healing, the state of things, and I mean, frankly, quite weird, but I think very optimistic sounding stuff that's going on in Germany at the moment. It's about half an hour or 40 minutes long, and I will be I'll be back with you after that, failing which I shall for the moment I shall take a bit of a breather and listen to Karma. So here you go. Your Karma Singh. How did you come by that name? And
well, you know, it's like most of the people, my father gave it to me.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, a lifelong name. It's very resonant, isn't it?
It actually means, karma means action, movement, change. Singh means lion or warrior. It can, in a certain circumstance, mean a hedgehog. But it's sort of lion of action.
Yeah. So have you always been involved in healing from the kind of work you're doing now, or was there a time when you started doing that work?
It actually started back in the 1960s, when there was a lot of to-do in the English newspapers about healing. Is it real? Does it exist? Does it do anything? Or is it just a con to extract money from the hopelessly ill? And I started following this, and the interesting things were that there were lots of interesting stories of people being given a death sentence by the medicos and going to a healer, and then suddenly they're completely well again. And then you ask the medicos, well, what's happened here? And they said, oh, that's not healing, that's spontaneous remission. And then when I said, well, what's the difference between healing and spontaneous remission? And you get one of two answers. And the first answer was nothing. The question was just completely ignored.
Yeah.
And the second answer was, oh, you're not a doctor, you wouldn't understand. And I thought, yeah, something is not quite kosher there. I want to find out.
Because there are quite substantial numbers of what, for better words, we'll call spontaneous remissions, more or less across the board, aren't there? Even with physical, really quite physically embedded illnesses.
Yeah, well, nowadays, of course, I know what the term means. I mean, there are literally thousands of terms used in medicine which literally mean we haven't the vaguest idea what's happening here, but we'll put this label on it so that we can write an invoice.
Yes, yeah, exactly how it runs.
Yeah.
And
although there are actually only 12 illnesses, the medicos have managed to cook out of that more than 80,000 different specialities.
Which ones do you think that they've managed to successfully address?
Very, very few, because it's not their area of competence. It's not their task.
No.
The purpose of what we call classical or typical medicine or allopathic medicine is a first aid technique. It was actually developed by the Roman military so that they'd have a much more effective fighting force, because you know all the other people just, you know, got an injured soldier, just left him to look after himself and in most cases die of wound infections. But the Romans had built a first aid service into their military units, with the result that they had a much higher number of effective trained soldiers, mm-hmm. which played a very large role in their military successes. That's where it comes from. It's a first aid technique to get soldiers quickly back in the line. It's not about resolving problems themselves. It's just about suppressing the symptoms.
Yes. Yeah, and I had actually heard that in the legal dictionaries, all of the words that we use in English, hospital and ward and all of that, they're all apparently military terms at base.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hidden in plain sight, but it's great to hear it put so eloquently and succinctly. Luckily, there's a whole lot of alternatives, aren't there, available to us, which, again, I speak from personal experience. I've successfully used non-allopathic medicine for 15 years, and it's kept me pretty healthy. But, you know, what would be your favourite in all the years you've spent kind of investigating things that work?
Oh, it depends. It's horses for courses. It depends what the problem is. I actually did visit a doctor of medicine about... What year was that? I think it was 2006. But only because I couldn't find a competent herbalist, because I knew the herbs would be better, but I couldn't find one. So I had a... quite severely infected wound, and so I went to an allopathic doctor who gave me some antibiotics, and that was it. And it took me a few weeks to recover from the antibiotics, but, you know, I've survived. But that is the only time I've been to a doctor of medicine in 45 years, something like that.
Yeah.
Which shows you, typically, how things should be. Most illnesses, as Hippocrates himself said, are based in the poor diet. And his two favourite expressions were, whatever the father of your illness is, your diet is the mother. And when he was speaking to his students, he said, when a patient comes to you, first ask about their diet. I've just found it to be true. 70% of the people that come to me, a very large part, in some cases, that exclusively their problem is the denatured foodstuffs that don't give the body the nutrients that it needs.
Yeah, and don't move through the body properly either. So as well as not feeding you, they tend to make you bigger and more difficult to move around quite often.
Yeah, and correct the diet. A very, very high proportion of so-called illnesses just disappear because the body itself becomes more efficient and detoxifies itself. That's all. My personal guess is that at least 40% of the budget wasted on the so-called national health could be eliminated by correct diet. Some say that it's 70%. But I'm certain that it's at least 40%.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of bread.
Yeah, and you can see that they genuinely don't know about the food by the kind of stuff they serve up to people who are in hospital.
Well, yes, of course, because doctors are trained by the pharmaceutical companies. The pharmaceutical companies control the entire training program. And things which would make people better are not mentioned. Or they're lied about. Like, I would tell you, homeopathy. I mean, who are the most vociferous opponents of homeopathy? The freshly trained doctors who've just come out of medical school, they're still completely indoctrinated, they've not had any clinical experience, and they know that homeopathy doesn't work, because they've been told that homeopathy doesn't work. And, of course, the problem is that it does. And if our health service was science-based instead of finance-based, then homeopathy would be that which a general practitioner would normally use, because it's very, very, very much cheaper, it's very, very, very much more effective, and it has no side effects.
Mm. Yeah. Do you get the impression that there are many GPs who, as they gain clinical experience and stuff and get information and hear other people's narratives, that they start adopting any of these techniques? I mean, one of my favourites is kinesiology, the muscle testing of your own in a navigator to get positive and yeses and noes. I was just so blown away by that.
Yeah.
I was thinking it could be really useful to a GP to be able to do, for example.
Well, some do, some don't. I do know for a fact in Germany, and I think USA as well, I'm not sure about other countries, but there are more doctors of medicine leaving pharmaceutical medicine and retraining in something else than there are doctors being trained to replace them. So you listen to the propaganda in Germany and there is a shortage of doctors. No, there isn't. There's a shortage of people selling pharmaceuticals. That's what there's a shortage of.
Yes. So have you got it in Germany? Is there a kind of wide range of alternative medicines and practitioners available to you?
Yes, it's quite wide spectrum. The biggest obstacle to the widespread use is that nothing other than pharmaceutical medicine is available on health insurance, on state health insurance. Private health insurance, that looks different, but it costs a lot more. But state health insurance, they're not allowed to pay for anything other than allopathic medicine, although in a survey which was done almost 2 years ago now, 83% of Germans said they would far rather have alternative techniques than pharmaceutical medicine, quite simply because their experience is that it doesn't work.
Mm. Yeah, and those that experience the other experience that in many cases it does work. And presumably they're choosing to pay, some of them must be choosing with their feet, with their gaming tokens, to to buy the alternative.
Yeah, I mean, when a lot of people realise they don't have a choice.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
They can either remain ill and get iller, or they can use their, I don't know, bit of spare cash to get well again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm wondering, this is one of the things I keep coming across, that it seems to me that at least at the moment, in order for people to awaken to all the amazing information there is around them, they have to be in a state of crisis. Very few people are kind of awakening to what's going on sort of spontaneously. Do you think that's going to change?
That the volume is being turned up day by day by day. And this is why people are waking up, and not just in the area of medicine, but also in politics and finance. I mean, when you see what happens in the world of finance, a banker commits fraud, and because his fraud wasn't successful, he claims, has lost money. What do? Do we put him in prison where any other company director would land? No. We give him a present of, several billions of pounds to cover his putative losses. Now, if you dig into the books, actually, those losses never actually took place. But you know, then you have to scratch a little bit under the surface. But the surface, everyone can see this. Hey, wait a minute. Suddenly, our schools are being closed down. Our children aren't getting school books. The waiting lists for medical procedures are getting longer, but the bankers get their pockets lined. What's going on here? This is about turning up the volume so that people begin to notice what's going on. People who've had their property stolen by contracts. Something I noticed, because I'm on a visit to the UK every now and then, in the time of Tony Blair. State licensed thieves.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
This came clear to me. I think it was in 2007 in Brighton, where my car was clamped in a hotel loading bay, and the hotel personnel were so afraid of this group of bandits they did nothing. Well, I paid them with a credit card and then stopped the payment. because I was wise enough to write on there, under extreme protest at this highly illegal action.
Yeah.
And that was enough for the credit card company to justify the refund. So I didn't actually pay for it. But that is the sort of fraud which has become endemic.
Yeah.
Licensed specifically by Tony Blair in order to, looking at the big picture, wake people up to the abuse that they've been living under for so long.
Yeah. And it is true to say, I think, that many people who 10 or 20 years ago would have been regarded with respect in the local society, I'm thinking, you know, some doctors, priests, policemen, more and more people are waking up to the fact that what's been going on in those particular offices and that service...
Sorry.
That's all right. And that service isn't, in fact, being rendered at all?
It varies enormously from individual to individual. We guess in Germany that 80% of the police are with us because they are, you know, sick and tired of the abuse and the illegal orders which they're given. And as soon as they have the opportunity to, you know, earn their living, sort of, you know, pay for their food and the housing and such, in some other manner, they will leave the state police and do something else.
Yeah, and this brings us rather tidily onto a subject we were talking about last night that, as I've said, completely surprised me, which is changes that are actually going on with inside Germany itself. I guess perhaps the best place to start is with the illegal nature of the state as it exists.
Well, the hasn't actually been a German state since 1935. At the end of the war, the Allies established, together with Eisenhower, an administrative authority for the occupied lands, and this was called the Bundesrepublik Deutschland, or the Federal Republic of Germany. And it has a basic law, not a constitution, a basic law. And Article 147 says, or used to say, that if a point should be reached when Germany is reunified, then the German people as a whole, by referendum, can choose a new constitution. But as soon as Germany is reunified, the Federal Republic of Germany ceases to exist. So, the Federal Republic of Germany, with the formal accession of the new territories, the old Bundesländer, to reunify Germany, which I think, I can't remember what year it was now, but whenever it was, sometime in the early 90s, at that point, the Bundesrepublik Deutschland officially ceased to exist. But the referendum required by the basic law has never taken place. Mm-hmm. So from then on, Germany is completely stateless, completely governless, if you like. It just has this umbrella organisation which has no legal authority. Right. And
it's a kind of veneer of government. Something's being made to look like it's there.
Yeah, and as Obama said in Frankfurt in 2009, Germany is an occupied territory and will remain so.
Mm. So did he say that, did he?
Yeah, confirmation from the White House itself that there is no such thing as a Federal Republic of Germany, it's just an occupied territory.
So there is an opportunity for the inhabitants of the lands that once knew themselves as Germany to create a new vision of a state, and it sounds like this is what's happening.
Yeah, well, there's a legal vacuum. However, there are rules which are still applied. They have no legal validity, but there are rules that are applied by the Federal Republic of Germany. And the way the law or the rules were structured, we call it rules, they say law, we say rules, but it gave the opportunity to create a new state from scratch. And this is absolutely essential, because we're living in a system which has been built up and perfected over literally thousands of years to serve a tiny minority, a tiny elite at the expense of everyone else. Now, that system cannot be changed to serve everyone. It's just a physical impossibility. It's so perfected to serve an elite, you can't.
If it's not fixed, you can't mend it, and it is a working system. You know, if it's fixed, it doesn't need mending, and it is a system that works. It's not a faulty system that isn't working properly.
It works brilliantly. Yeah. I mean, look at, you know, you can see it day by day. The rich are getting richer. Are you getting richer?
Certainly
am
not.
I getting richer? you know, like, who gets our taxes? Well, 76% of them go straight to the banking cartel. Why? What do they do for it? Well, nothing. They just create phantom debt. That is, they type a number in a computer and say, all right, your country now owes us £50 billion. And all they've done is write a number in a computer. That's it.
Yeah.
But under the agreements, you have to then give them £50 billion plus interest, and interest on the interest, which is why everybody's getting poorer apart from the banking cartel and their friends.
So how much of the money that, say, you know, notionally being used to run Germany at the moment do you think actually needs to be spent? How much do you think it actually costs to run the place in percentages?
7.6% of the money presently being taken in is actually needed to run a country with just the minimum necessary government.
7.6%?
7.6%.
Yeah.
Which is why the Kingdom of Germany, which was, it's been building up for a number of years. Peter Fitchek is the guy who has been the driving force behind it.
He presumably saw the vacuum that existed and looked to create something?
No, he saw the complete injustice and wanted to create something which would return humanity to the divine order.
And when was he working broadly? Is he still with us?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, he's only 47 at the moment.
Right. So the visionary head is still there as well, which is always really good.
Yeah.
And so how did he basically approach it? What were his first moves?
He has a photographic memory. He can remember everything. And he studied law, or the so-called Bundesrepublik German law, and spotted the ways through it which would legally create a separate German state. And this is what he's done. I mean, he's had many court cases, because what he's actually doing is exercising rights which have been abused for decades, but are actually legal rights of every German citizen.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's had lots of court cases setting through those rights. And then deleting the propensity which German bureaucrats have for inventing their own laws and challenging them in the courts.
Brilliant.
And winning, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So is he using their courts, or is he creating a just court system?
Both. You see, what is created has to work. That is, it has to be the core of a new state. But it also, in order to survive, it has to be legal within Bundesrepublik Deutschland law. And they've tried many times to squash him, but because what he's doing is legal, each time they've had to hand back what they've stolen and apologise.
Very good. So presumably this is growing quite swiftly. How's it being transmitted?
It has not been growing swiftly up till yet, because it's been in the preparation state. It's been in building it up out of nothing. But in September 2012, there was the declaration of statehood. The Kingdom of Germany, the Königreich Deutschland, which has been recognised by at least 6 countries so far. I don't know how many others. It's not something I pay a great deal of attention to. And there is a law suit going through the courts at the moment, which, when Peter wins it, the Federal Republic of Germany will have ipso facto recognised the Königreich Deutschland as an independent state.
So then you're a whole new jurisdiction.
Yeah, the thing is, you see, it's very, very simple. Anybody, you don't have to be a German, anybody can become a citizen of the Kingdom of Germany. Anybody can sign over their property to the Kingdom of Germany. I use the word parish, because there isn't really an English equivalent of the Gemeinde, can, by referendum, choose to leave the BRD and join the Kingdom of Germany.
The BRD doesn't exist anymore.
No, but
a kind of administrative shadow, like, isn't it?
Yeah, well, under the BRD rules, the way to do it is that, and that is so completely watertight legal, there's nothing the BRD can do about it.
Yeah.
They said there are a great many people in the upper echelons of the administration of the BRD, they want this change.
Mm.
There are maybe 20,000 Germans, maybe that many, maybe less, who don't want the change.
Mm.
There are at least 4 million actively working for the change, and 80-odd million who haven't woken up yet.
Yeah. So what's going to happen, for example, to agriculture? Because this is what people always say, isn't it, this group? But who's going to build the roads? Who's going to till the fields and stuff? But presumably you're hoping to address the problems of the challenges of agribusiness as well through this project.
Well, this is all some part of the preparation. It's already there. the blueprint and some of the farms which already belong to the kingdom, they're all biodynamic, spiritual biodynamic agriculture. And basically what this gives you is up to 5 times the harvest at 20% of the cost, and about a fifth, between a third and a fifth of the labour. Because it's based upon us understanding the natural order of plant growth and not opposing it, not using masses of chemicals to kill off the things which are telling you what you're doing is not in accord with natural balance.
Yeah.
There are no parasites. There are lots and lots of insects and microorganisms which have the job. Their purpose, their function, is to recycle damaged organic material. And if you present them with damaged organic material, they will do their job and recycle it. If, however, the way in which you grow your crops is in total accord with natural balance, there is no sick or damaged organic material, and they will just ignore it. I mean, we did some experiments with this 3 years ago now in a garden in Hessen, the middle of Germany, just using these techniques, and you know, the results are amazing. I set this as a question to everybody who's ever grown any vegetable in their garden: have you ever seen a broccoli plant without holes in the leaves? The broccoli doesn't belong here; it's not a native here, so it has problems. But if you give it exactly what it needs, then it's quite happy to grow, which means that the snails, whose job it is to recycle sick leaves, just ignore the leaves. Yeah, they're not sick.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And I know that because I've been doing a lot of different sorts of gardening over the years, and the biodynamic gardening really has got some quite extraordinary techniques and very potent feeds and stuff that it turns out, using not just the physical elements, but actually using focus and concentration and, you know, being in tune with what you're using, and the results are absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, there is a video I stumbled across on YouTube last year of such a garden somewhere in, I think it's in Korea, but I'm not certain, somewhere over there. But this garden has existed in more or less in its present form for at least 300 years. And it feeds the entire family, and there's quite a significant surplus which is sold outside, and they do almost no work at all. They just meditate.
Yeah. Yes.
Because everything has been planned and planted in the perfect natural balance. And that's the way it should be. In here it's called permaculture.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is an essential part of any natural balanced agriculture. So you've got your produce, which is all, of course, completely organic. There's no synthetic chemicals, because we don't need any synthetic nutrients, and we don't need any pesticides. And so, okay, how do you get them from the field to your plate on your table? Well, the plan is that the farmers in a particular area will own a shop or shops in the nearest town, and the produce will go directly there, no middlemen.
Right.
In the villages where a shop is not viable, they will just tour around with, you remember this, when I was a child, the man selling vegetables in a minibus.
I saw him just yesterday out the back there. There was a reasonably sized van, absolutely full of fruit and veg and household essentials. It was great, because like you say, it really did take me back.
Yeah, it did.
So how has the kingdom settled on being a kingdom, and does it have a king?
It doesn't have a king. It almost certainly never will have a king. The point was, in September 2012, the BRD were about to enact new legislation which would have made the creation of a new state much, much, much more difficult.
They spotted the hole in their plans, eh?
Yeah, something like that, maybe. Or maybe they received instructions from Rothschild, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so for each different type of state, different state form, there are different prerequisites which have to become fulfilled.
Yeah.
And at that time, the only one which could have been done, like right now, is a kingdom. That's why it's a kingdom.
Can you remember why that was the case?
I never actually asked, to be honest, in detail.
I'm just interested. I bet it's to do with registration and things like that, because there must be something funny. Because the same thing's true if you go looking for means of incorporation in this country. Mm-hmm. Charity, registered charity, co-op. There really is only the co-op that's open to you because of all the rules and registration and records that are required to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So presumably that's one of the things that the government for the non-existing state was trying to undermine, was the option of being a kingdom without a king.
Yeah, I don't know, but the kingdom itself is not a kingdom in the way we're accustomed to. It's what's called a Rita Republic. Now, so far as I know, there isn't actually an English word which means that. Republic, yes, it means rule of law. The Rita means the local parishes, the people in the village, the street committee. And they are the people who decide what the law is. So the only way in which you can make a new law is if the majority of the Rita, the parishes or whatever you want to call them, if the majority of them say, yes, we think that's a good idea, then it becomes law. And only then. There's no way of making a law from above and imposing it from above like we have at the moment.
Yeah.
It can only be created at the street level by the people. The people themselves is so important here to stress here that the way forward is to give the power back to the where it belongs, in the hands of the people.
And enable the people to kind of rise up and take the reins, as it were, because I'm sure they would if there was a good reason for doing it. You know, if there was actual genuine influence to be had, would...
Yeah, there are very many, many good reasons for doing it. For example, you buy, shall we say, a jar of jam or a loaf of bread. How much of that price is actually the jam and the bread? Yeah?
Very little, presumably about 7%.
Well, no, it's 27%.
27%.
As a rule.
Yeah.
And the rest is tax, which mostly goes straight to the banking cartel for doing nothing, and interest, which most companies have to pay. And, you know, this is what's sucked out of your wallet. So if a country where interest was a crime, which it is in the Kingdom of Germany, charging interest is a crime.
Very good.
And if the only tax that could be levied was upon manufacturers of anything which was damaging to the health of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Kingdom of Germany, you would have something like possibly a 400% tax on microwave ovens, or 600% tax on McDonald's and the like, because they are known to be extremely damaging to health, which causes a lot of costs in that area. So, you know, why shouldn't the people creating the problem pay for it? So if you want to poison yourself, be my guest, but you're paying 600% tax on that, so that when you go to the doctors, you've prepaid for your treatment.
Mm. Yes. Yes,
or,
put the costs where they need to be.
Yeah, So, this weekend is the first Congress to go into detail of telling people how a parish can, bit by bit, step by step, move itself from the BRD or, theoretically at least, the United Kingdom into the Kingdom of Germany.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an interesting law, isn't it? Interesting legislative structure. So you're printing your own money as well. And I think no interest is really important, especially because as I said, the interest is never actually published, which means by definition you're playing musical chairs.
Yeah.
When the music stops, some of the chairs haven't been published, and that's why it's actually designed to eat its own tail. But you're printing money, printing engels, or the...
Yeah, the initial currency was called the engel. Ein neues Geld in Licht translates a new money in the light. And that is being replaced, being phased out and replaced with the Neudeutsche Mark, because most Germans know from their feeling here what a Deutsche Mark is. They can feel it as, yeah, okay, this is a valid currency. Why is it a valid currency? Because it's a representation of the wealth of the country of Germany and the wealth of the people who are wealth creators in Germany.
Yeah.
The euro isn't.
The euro is just monopoly money.
It's not even that.
No. Not even monopoly money.
That's legally, in Germany at least, you can print your own euros, and it's not a crime. It's not forgery. It's a copyright. It's a breach of copyright.
Right.
And if you look on the back of a euro note, it says copyright.
Right.
And what it is, they are, at law, they are works of art which are loaned to the people and can be rescinded or called back at any time.
Yeah.
And the only value which a euro has is the word of the banker that it is valuable. Mm. That's it. Nothing else.
And look at the nature of the bankers. We can trust them, eh?
Yeah. But the Engel and the Neudeutsche Mark, they are backed by property, factories, agricultural land.
Equity, the actual equity of the people themselves and the effort that's going into it.
Yeah. Mm. So.
And how are they taking off, do you know?
Slowly at first, the point being that everything was prepared in order to make the big push, the big change possible. And the preparation is now over. And since March this year, the kingdom has been into moving forward, fulfilling its objective of gradually, peacefully replacing the BRD with a valid state which works for the people and not for an elite.
Mm-hmm. And how does that leave it standing with the European bureaucracy?
Well, this is one of the many, many reasons for creating a new state. If you try and modify the existing system, you're still contractually linked into all this EEC abuse, where you then have an empire ruled by a committee of bureaucrats whom you can't vote for and have no influence upon. They just make their own rules as they go along. And
Yeah, sad but true.
But if you make a new state, then unless you want to enter into an agreement with them, there is no agreement in existence.
I love this as well, because it is now down to individuals taking responsibility, because that's fundamentally what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the basic change from the time of the patriarchy, where... In order to experience, make this experience for humanity as a whole, it was necessary for a tiny elite to dictate the lives of everyone else. This lesson has been completed. The structure is being dissolved, and it's a good idea to make an orderly changeover to something completely different.
Yeah. Yes, we say that we came here to experience the use and abuse of power, the better to choose love.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just the dark power holders, the small percentage of psychopaths who have to impose themselves on the others. The rest of us have to believe it
in order
for the balance to work. But I agree. I see more and more examples of it starting to really fray quite badly at the edges. There's a lot of creative and beautiful people doing amazing things for each other.
Which brings us to this book, because within the true structure of how the universe actually functions. Nobody can take your wealth away from you. It's not possible. All they can do is to convince you to give it to them. And if you want to change that, all you've got to do is to change your opinion about your relationship to your wealth. And as soon as you do that, you can stop giving them your wealth and enjoy it yourself, which is what I wrote the book for. At the moment, it's called The Anatomy of Luck, which is just a translation of the German original, which is now in its 18th reprint.
Going well, brilliant. It looks great. It looks really grand. I'm really looking forward to getting into it in detail.
Yeah, it will be retitled The Key to Luck. Both websites will work as of, probably Saturday.
Yeah.
At the moment, The Anatomy of Luck works. The other one, I registered it yesterday.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been loaded onto the server as yet.
And karmabooks.co.uk gets you gateways to all of the all of your websites, which, again, I'm looking forward to looking at. I love the subtitle, which is a course in the practical application of quantum physics.
Now, we say that, and some people say, quantum physics! I was hopeless at physics at school. No, you weren't. It's something you've been doing all your life, and nobody's ever told you about it. And all that the book does is to teach you how to do consciously what you've been doing unconsciously from the day you were born.
Absolutely, yeah.
And life is never determined by, I don't know, wishes or willpower or anything like that. What you experience is exactly what you expect. Whatever you expect, that is what you will experience. And the book is about teaching you how to consciously program your expectations so that what you experience is what you actually want rather than what you were told you're supposed to have.
And of course there are now, I mean, although people, I actually find there's a lot of people who are willing to consider the ideas of quantum physics nowadays because they are so outrageous and they're so important. And one of their conclusions is that we are the unknown variable. If there is an unknown variable that's acting in the subatomic substrate, then it's consciousness. And so how you direct your consciousness is not irrelevant. It is absolutely the critical issue at hand.
Yes, exactly. That is so clear in quantum physics and quantum field theory that whatever happens, you chose it.
Yeah, we can only be disappointed by our own expectations.
Yes. If you do something different to what you really wanted, if you program or stipulate something different to what you really wanted, well, whatever it was you stipulated, that's what you'll experience. But you'll experience it as perhaps a gentle reminder from the universe to say, well, yeah, maybe you should try something else next time. Mm-hmm. As what was it? I can't remember who said it now, but the definition of stupidity was keep repeating the same thing and expecting a different result.
That's right, yes. But an error only becomes a mistake when you refuse to correct it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Fail to correct it.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely marvellous, all of that, and it'd be great perhaps to have a chat with you when I've read the book and when the convention has happened in the Kingdom of Germany and find out who was there. Because it sounds like a kind of fairly organic process that's occurring now, and people must be having to get on with each other.
Yeah.
Because it's another of my favourite subjects for examination is community, how to make the community work, and they must be working together pretty closely, these people.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, what's happened is that Peter has what's the word in English, a lot of people have caught fire with the image that Peter is creating. This is how it could be, and they say, yeah, I can go with that. And the more people who do that and do it, you know, walk the talk, as it were, the easier and quicker it happens.
Yeah. And presumably, I mean, even if you're not ill, I reckon that all of these, some of the energy things we've been talking about today, like the essences and the essential oils and the batch flower remedies, and are all things that help your body resonate more closely with your intent.
Yeah.
And the way we want the world to be.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a kind of magic.
Mm. See, the more you are physically in accord with the structures of the quantum fields, the more ordered energy your body has. And illness is just an expression of chaos which is crept into the system.
What do you think the key point is on making manifestation work for you?
You have to know which organs of your body are responsible for it and how to use them to give instructions to the universe to deliver what you want. And that's what the book is about. It's a step-by-step guide to doing exactly that. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very easy once you've grasped it.
And it is a result of your investigation into why manifestation was working for some people and not for others.
Yes, indeed, Lee. Which is why the book was originally called The Biology of Prayer. Mm. Because prayer is a much abused term. Manifesting. That was the secret why the early Christians were so powerful, why they almost toppled the Roman Empire. Because they knew, no matter what the emperor stole from them, they could just re-manifest it like that. Not a problem. And part of the pact which Constantius made with the bishops was, well, he would declare Christianity to be the state religion, but they must begin teaching their followers that A, God has appointed the emperor over them to rule over their worldly affairs, and B, you must stop teaching them how to manifest. So a part of the pact, the two of the four laws of manifesting, two of the four laws of prayer were actually removed from the Bible, and a non-functional ersatz was taught, and that's what we know as prayer, this non-functional ersatz, but it's not the real thing. The real thing is what's in the book, which is why it originally called The Biology of Prayer, but so many people had an allergic reaction to the word prayer that we changed the title to The Anatomy of Luck.
Yes.
And, okay, The Anatomy of Luck in German, because the Germans want to know how everything functions, hence the title. But in England, they don't really. They just want to get there. So in England, it's going to be retitled The Key to Luck.
Yeah, brilliant.
But it's exactly the same content.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for that conversation. And I know you've got other places to go.
Yes, yes.
And it'd be great to chat again. I'll keep in touch on the Skype.
The truth is that we need to open up our eyes so that we start to see all of the lies that we were told and we believed. Because the time has come to face reality and work together for the sake of liberty, so that our future generation can be free. We need to wake up and see that the truth is not what it appears to be. Truth is, the real reason for war is motivated by money and corporate interest. Rwanda didn't have oil, that's why the world turned a blind eye during its genocide. Truth is, corporations can donate an unlimited amount of money to a candidate. Democrats and Republicans are bought and paid, so government does whatever corporations say. Truth is, the president doesn't run the country. The people in charge are those who control the money. So the Federal Reserve's really more powerful than the U.S. government, and they're running the show. The truth is that Goldman Sachs sold subprime mortgages they knew were bad. They also profited by betting they'd all fail, so they'd win either way, and no one went to jail. Truth is, the financial crisis ain't solved. It was a big Ponzi scheme, an inside job, where taxpayers bailed out the banks who caused it in the first place, and now they're still in charge. Truth is, money is created from debt. If all debt was repaid, there'd be no money left. But loans that are made have interest attached that doesn't exist, so we can't pay it back. Truth is, our banking system's a trap that leads to bankruptcy and collapse. It's why the states are $50 trillion in the hole, and this crisis is spreading all around the globe. Truth is, a crash is inevitable, cause our growing debt must be matched in the real world through the use of resources, so infinite growth on a finite planet is impossible. The truth is that we need to open up our eyes so that we start to see All of the lies that we were told and we believed. Because the time has come to face reality and work together for the sake of liberty, so that our future generation can be free. We need to wake up and see that the truth is not what it appears to be. Truth is, the CIA has a history of smuggling drugs into the states. The profits are then laundered through banks in order to help them secretly operate. 'Cause the truth is, they've been involved in things that would make people appalled, like mind control experiments on soldiers to alter their behavior through drugs and hypnosis. Truth is, Nazis were the first to try putting fluoride into the nation's water supply to dumb people down and control what they think, and now it's in almost all the water that we drink. Truth is, there's a chemical company called Monsanto controlling the food we eat by transforming everything genetically and then forcing everyone to only use their seeds. Truth is that the medical industry is big business with millions of employees. The last thing it wants is a cure for cancer, 'cause they'd lose trillions if there was ever an answer. Truth is, cures for cancer exist. Just look up Dr. Brzezinski in Texas, who's been curing people with tumors for years. The FDA and the government don't want you to hear. Truth is, you can't trust the TV news. It's pre-filtered to distract and confuse. All the outlets are owned by only 5 companies, so it's impossible to ever get news objectively. 'Cause the truth is, people need to wake up and expose how our whole system is corrupt. And if you think I'm wrong, go ahead, try to stump me. Let's see you write a song as smart as this to debunk me. The truth is that we need to open up our eyes so that we start to see all of the lies that we were told and we believed. Because the time has come to face reality and work together for the sake of liberty, so that our future generation can be free. We need to wake up and see that the truth is not what it appears to be. The truth is.
That was Kyle Samson's rap, Truth Is, which strikes me as a very fair description of what's going on. And many of the subjects raised in it were touched on by Karma in my chat with him. He's obviously got a lot of experience in the healing of people using non-allopathic means. He was also talking about how the Federal Republic of Germany has somehow ceased to exist without people noticing, but it left some kind of legislative strand which enabled the people of Germany to at least begin considering the building of a new state along different lines. It also appears that the non-existent state had started to attempt to legislate to prevent that from happening, which is one of the reasons why the kingdom model was rather strangely chosen, because it was the quickest one to get to. You'll have heard him mention that there is a convention over in Germany this weekend, which Karma's going to, and I'm hoping to get a chat with him afterwards to find out kind of how it's working. Sort of coordinating a new state from the parish level sounds like a very interesting project indeed. But in my private chats with him, we did manage to cover many more subjects than we actually managed to cover in that particular interview, because he was short of time and needed to be moving on. But he has agreed to come back on the show at some point and maybe chat with me live about what's going on out there. And by then I'll have had a chance to have a closer look at the anatomy of luck and how it ties in with these other books that have synchronicitously found their way into my hands, as it were. Now, the next bit of the show is perhaps a bit of a difficult subject to cover on the radio, because you are none of you going to be able to experience directly the amazing essences that Juliet Cotter has been making for the last few years. Synchro and I received a bottle of the Earth Consciousness Essence and a bottle of the Mists of Avalon, the Avalon Essence, and we find them absolutely invigorating. I have a little truth signal in my body. When the hairs on my arms stand on end, I always figure I'm dealing with something that's worth dealing with. And still, even after many months of playing with Juliet's essences, I still find they have a most invigorating effect. Now, I guess several of you out there will probably have encountered, perhaps, say, the Bach flower references, or Bach, as some people say his name. He He went through a lot of the flowers and plants that are available in the so-called United Kingdom, and by putting them on his tongue, managed to work out, sense what the properties were of the plants that he was testing, and he then set about a way of turning them into essences, which can be used to aid the easing of, I guess, archetypal problems and challenges that humans face. The batch flower remedies were one of the first complementary therapies that I experienced, and I was quite amazed by the difference it made, by the kind of bubbling up in my head that went on. So that's Edward Batch's work was one example of the kind of thing that Juliet's talking about. There are many other people making many other flower essences, essences of all sorts of things, in fact. And what Juliet's doing is combining many of them in an inspired fashion. Who knows, really, where the inspiration comes from to make the essences in the first place, where it comes from to combine given things together to lead to both a physical lift from interaction with the various oils and essences involved, as well as a head lift, if you like, a kind of bit of a hit that comes from the scent, the really amazingly uplifting scent of these various things. I think probably the best idea you'll get of how these things work in the little interview that that Karma did with Juliet earlier on this afternoon is hearing his response to them as they're sprayed over his head and into his aura, as they're talking about them kind of one by one. As I said before, I've been intending for some time to talk to Juliet, because she is one of the Avalon Rising team and does do presentations for us when we're out in the field. And Wayne also helps with the crewing. So we might as well, Ben, as we're running a bit late, move straight on to that. So rather than me interviewing Juliet, I just sat and listened to Karma doing it. Now, this is a slightly more lumpy recording than the other one. For some reason, when I was chatting with Karma, I had far fewer interruptions. When Karma was talking to Juliet, we had a whole load of air traffic which kept popping up and then circling round us and going away again. This is a fairly common problem when we try to record outside anywhere near Glastonbury, in my experience. Also, there's more of the bird song, which some people were enjoying, but obviously not Captain Stingray. He seemed to think they were Elvis or something. I'm not quite sure what was going on there. So there's still the bird song. The chickens go quite a lot more wild in this particular section. And also Karma was doing the interview in German and in English, so there was a little bit of removal of the German parts as well. Nonetheless, I think it hangs together pretty well, and hopefully you'll get some sort of feel as to the kind of work that Juliet's using. As I said at the beginning of the show, I really was hoping to look a little bit into consciousness's relationship with the quantum layer of reality, and how it is that our minds seem most definitely, even to physicists, to be playing a critical part in what happens to us and how it works out. Now, this being the case, and once you can accept it, it becomes a lot easier to understand that small details like what you're freshening your air with, what you're lifting, what you're using to lift your body and lift your spirits, can every single little bit, every single small decision along those lines can change the way things manifest for you. So here we've got an interview that Karma Singh had with Juliet Cotter, and whilst it's playing and afterwards I'll bring to your attention one or two of Juliet's contact addresses, just in case any of you want to try any of this stuff. And like Karma, I thoroughly recommend it. Here it comes.
So I'm sitting here in an English country garden with Juliet Cotter, who both developed and manufactures the well-being essences, which you can find on her website here. And what I'm going to do is ask her how this all happened and to tell us something about the essences and what they can do for you. So, Juliet, over to you. How did it all happen?
Hi. A friend came, and she is a kinesiologist, and she would really like some essences for her practice, and she asked me if I would make some for her from the well water that we have here, knowing that I already make tinctures and ointments and different things from the herbs on the land, and that we both already worked with the well and the beautiful energies of this beautiful crystal water well here. And I was very, very happy to do it. And within a few seconds, after her testing me, it's very, yes, strong to make these essences, I had a miracle essence pop into my head. And all of the ingredients came to me as quick as a flash. And there were crystal essences in it, essential oils, frankincense, rose geranium, lemon, rutilated quartz, gold, silver, a child's love, and Reiki, and orange blossom. And all these things had to be put together with the intention of miracles, divine, loving life force, to help humanity to settle into a miracle consciousness where their lives flowed for the greater good, for the higher nature, where we're connected to the whole earth, the physical connected to the physical earth, and the divine spirit flowing through us, eternal divine spirit, loving spirit. So once we know that we are these two elements working together in the heart, that's when we become completely in balance, and we're working for our higher nature, miracle consciousness. And I was told that once a couple of drops go into the atmosphere, that this would start, you know, this wonderful energy coming from this medicine, as it is all over the planet in different variations at this time. So I went to, I wanted to make the essence straight away, but I didn't know how to make essences. And then I bought a beautiful cupboard on eBay to hold my CDs. And the lady spoke to me and I said, God, you've got such a beautiful healing voice. What do you do? She said, I'm a batch flower essence practitioner of 30 years and I've just retired. And she was a teacher and a practitioner. So I said, oh my goodness, would you come here please and teach us how to make the essences? And you can stay in our holiday cottage and just be held, and we'd just love to have you. And she said she'd be delighted, although she'd retired. So that was lovely. So we had a 3-day course with her. Nobody turned up for the first 2 days, so I had 2 full days on my own studying with her. And one of the important things that she taught me was that it wasn't me making the essences. It was the earth speaking through this bird, this flower, this tree, this herb, this crystal, saying, make one of me to further the consciousness of humanity through my medicine, all these different things, all the different aspects of love and healing that are around us in Earth's medicine cabinet. So that was beautiful. And she told me, well, I already knew about the harmony in nature, but she was telling me that nature is, you know, everything knows what to do in nature. It's a complete natural flow. And I was thinking to myself, well, where do humans fit into this? And I couldn't work it out, and I had a little chat with her. And then I went away and I had a relaxed moment, and I asked Divine what it was that separates us from nature in terms of flow. And I was told that when we realise that divine loving spirit is flowing through us, and we are part of this whole earth, the beauty and the love that nurtures us, that physical element is earth consciousness, then we start living and flowing from our highest good. But many people don't realise that these two elements are part of them, and therefore they're running on fear and ego, separate from the everlasting help that we have around us in physical and spirit form. And so they feel like they're on their own, separated, not part of the all-encompassing love that's there for us. And therefore, you know, mistakes are made, and separation from the planet, separation from nature. And nature can't support us and nurture us if we're not open to her love and her medicine and her healing. And same with loving spirit. Loving spirit is there for us and helps us and guides us onto what we need to do for our highest good when we relax into that knowing, that love and that knowing and that understanding. So that's what the miracle essence was really, really about. And so she agreed to come, And then it was only the day before that she came that I had enough money in my account to buy all the essential oils that I needed. And I went to the shop, and for some reason, orange blossom wasn't there on the essential oil side. I got all the other ingredients, but orange blossom wasn't there. But neroli was. And I realised that when she tested me and orange blossom wasn't right, I was the only one that wasn't right. It's called neroli in the shop. So I bought the neroli, and obviously that's why it was saying not orange blossom, but it was neroli. So once the lot had come together and I sprayed it with my child's love in it, the Reiki in it, just this massive tingling all around me and heart opening, and I knew it was completely right. It was incredible. And then the testimonials that I was getting from people after using it were amazing, absolutely amazing. And something else that she taught me, because I made a sun essence miracle and a moon essence miracle. Now with the sun, you get the full power of the sun illuminating the essence. And with the moon essence, it's a deeper healing because the sun bounces off the moon and comes back. So with the moon essences, you can expect a little bit more of a deeper healing, a deeper transformation, and a deeper clearing aspect to the essence. So when I use the general public ones, most of them are made with the sun, but sometimes the moon ones are completely right, because they bring in a clearing aspect to the essence as well. The sun and the whole earth and the waters of the whole earth and all of nature come together with the essences, with all the aspects of crystals and air, wind, nature, the little bees, the little birds. They're all part of the well-being essences, part of the magic that Earth creates through them. Yeah. So that was the beginning. Yeah.
Have you already made the cockerel essence?
No. He's making it every minute for the minute.
He appears to be saying it's what about me?
Yeah, well, that's enlightenment. The cockerel represents the dawn and enlightenment, so I guess he wants to have his say.
So if I understand the miracle essence correctly, the main purpose is to reawaken in mankind this knowledge of oneness with Earth, which removes the last traces of the patriarchy, of the age of materialism, which was only possible because mankind separated himself from the natural abundance of Earth in order to make the experience of lack of deficiency. And the miracle essence is there to very, very quickly bring us all back into where we truly belong.
Yes. Yep, that sums it up very well. An important factor as well as part of the essence is to help us to clear and let go of our pasts. Thank you. And our conditioning about being separate from nature and helping us to come into, just a blissful feeling with nature. And it's not to say that we're all going to start making miracles as soon as we take a drop, walking on water and those sort of things, but it's to remember that life itself is a miracle. You know, the miracle of putting an acorn in the earth and then it turns into a massive, great big acorn tree. That's a miracle. Yeah. Nature is miraculous, and it's in settling in and remembering and honouring that that makes our hearts explode with love and appreciation for the earth and what she does for us, and how we can act accordingly with her. So that's very much about the miracle essence. So this is the miracle essence here. And uplifting aura and room spray. So what you do is you spray it above your head, and then you allow the particles to settle around you, and you breathe in the smell. It's like an alchemical process when you're brain receives the essential oils and the essence. It releases endorphins. You feel your shoulders relax and the heart opens, and you feel just more rested and more settled. So you can use it when you're stressed, you can use it if you just want to give yourself a lift. Friends use it who are going to perform, so they give themselves a squirt before they perform. Other people use it in their practices to clear the room before patients come in, or at the end of a treatment to give an extra when everybody when people are relaxed and open and in a really healing space, to have the extra dimension of the sprays go into their aura and then into their physical being. That just adds an extra loveliness. And people use it in dentist practices just to clear a room if there's different things going on in the room that aren't creating a great balance or harmony. You can use it to purify and clear the energy of a room. And you can also use it to bless flowers and plants. You can take it as far as you like, really. You can use it as a devotional, meditational tool. So you can squirt it and just sit and focus on the miracle consciousness and being connected with the earth, imagining spirit light for your highest good coming through, connecting you with the earth. And then the earth coming back up, the earth energies, beautiful earth energies coming back up and filling you with a healing. And then imagine the two, the divine and the earth energy, coming into your heart, filling your body and expanding your heart with balance, love, heaven on earth. And or you can just use it to make your room smell nice. Just that. So whatever way you would like to use it, it's a beautiful tool, and I've had incredible testimonials from it. And I'm very grateful for my friend and my teacher and my family for helping me with it, and my friends also for welcoming it into their lives.
Now, this is also very good news for all sorts of therapists and even doctors of medicine who are also becoming more conscious. And just the knowledge that you just need to spray this a little bit after each patient, nothing will be carried over to the next one. And even at home, when your guests have gone, and you want your house or your flat just for yourself, quick spray, there you are. I mean, obviously I've experienced this myself, and you notice that not only do you have a strong effect upon the body, your entire energy field get cleaned, purified. So in the next videos, we're going to look at some of the individual sprays themselves, on what they're for and who can use them and how to enjoy them. But before we do that, I just want to ask, how many sprays are there, and will there be more, or was that it?
Well, at present there's about 22 sprays made up, but I've got over 100 essences, and there's many more that I'd like to make. There's no limit. There's absolutely no limit. It's infinite, really, because people are making essences all the time, all over the planet, and will be, I'm sure, on and on and on. But at the moment, there's sort of 17 to 20 that I'm concentrating on, which are all incredible in their own aspect. There is a bee essence, which I'll go into in a minute, which is incredible. It's about just being. And that's like a thick, nectary, blissful essence. And in the essence spray with the essential oils, it's beautiful. There's a ocean sea mist, which is beautiful. It was made after a full moon. And that one is very good for space clearing. I really desired a holiday last year and hadn't had one for 7 years. So I decided to make a holiday in a bottle. And that one has got tropical island paradise fragrance and the essence of the ocean. And so that's a beautiful little one. And that's my dog looking after the chickens, putting them back in the pen. And we've got Mists of Avalon. This Mists of Avalon was made when the waters rose around Tor, and it looked like the Isle of Avalon again. You know, in the mists of time, we've got this legend of Arthurian romance and that type of thing. Well, the essence was made a sealed bottle in the waters underneath the Tor, and it was for the highest good. So dismissed to Babylon was for the highest good of all who took it. And that's got wonderful space clearing essential oils. It was made on an eclipse night, and I harvested it at dawn, and everything was frosty and icy, and the sun was just coming up, and it was just exquisite for space clearing. Very powerful, that one, for purity and purifies about. And then there's rose and rose quartz, which speaks for itself. That's a beautiful energy of the rose with rose quartz. That's a beautiful one for the mums and grannies, or I've had guys buy it as well to give themselves a motherly cuddle. We've got lavender and amethyst. That's a wonderful one. They work together really in beautiful harmony. Amethyst I use so much, and I quite often charge the essences up in the amethyst geode that we have. That gives them an extra punch. And we've got gold alchemist. This is made with rose gold, green gold, yellow gold, and platinum. And the essence was made on the same morning as the bee essence. It was a May the 1st essence. And this one has got the essential oils in of orange and frankincense and all these exquisite ones that are very golden. They make you feel golden when you smell them. So with the essence, it's very much about abundance and divine gold, divine love. And that's a lovely one. And it's got little bits of gold in the actual essence, real gold leaf. And there's, what do you think now? Dove, the essence of the doves. We've got the doves here that are talking now. I don't know if you can hear them, but they're talking now. So I made that one on the eclipse night as well. I've made a few since, but that's an eclipse one, when the doves were sleeping. And that's a deeply peaceful one. I've had people say that that helps with people that are very depressed, or if people are too high, it can balance people out and bring a real sense of peace and community. And it's also great before you do prayers and ceremony, just to clear the atmosphere and to get people focused on a peaceful, balanced feeling. It's beautiful. And we have the earth consciousness, which a lot of people use for geomancy and earth energies. Or if you, you know, if you just want to have a little grounding time, key back into the earth consciousness. I left a pot of water on the earth just here, actually, with regulated quartz and gold and silver, and I asked earth to speak into the pot for the greater good of whoever tried it. And the first person that I used it on was a lady who was very connected with the Native American traditions, and we both had a massive tingling all over us, and our hearts just exploded as we used it. For one of the first times in public, it was exquisite. So a lot of my geomancer friends use that with their work as well.
So is it possible to create a special essence for one particular person or a particular family or a particular company that so that, you know, they're just, their life really works? Is that possible?
Well, a friend asked me after her mother died to make an essence, a mother essence, to help to support mothers. And so we made the essence with phalaenopsis and lots of different crystals. And that was intended to help mothers, to support mothers and give them strength and love. And just to give them love from nature and spirit. And it's also for people who have trouble with their relationships with their mothers. So it's a beautiful essence. We got that out on Mother's Day. People love it. So in terms of specifics, I quite often make specific essences for people for specific problems, and I mix up certain essences and make sprays. Quite often I use them internally for people as well. But people seem to love the sprays. It gives an extra dimension, having the essential oils as well as the internal essences that are making the vibrational transformation. We're also getting the physical aspect with the essential oils. And it's very possible to, well, I already do that, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll have some of that mother essence.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
So, Juliet, you brought four of the essences with you here. Would you like to tell us about each of them in detail?
I'd love to.
Okay, one after the other then.
Okay. Right, so this is the bee essence. This was made on May the 1st last year. This was when there was a lot of publicity about the bees and how they were dying. And my husband suggested I make a bee essence with the wild bees that were in a tree down the road, but I went there and unfortunately they died. So we know of another very, very potent place in terms of earth energy where I needed to make this essence. So I went with a friend after making the gold essence with him here, the triple gold essence of his gold, we made that here. And then we went down to where the bees were. And when we arrived, there was a stag and a doe just outside the woods, lit in gold completely. They had golden halos because the sun was just rising. And the sun had risen and was placed in the antlers of the stag. So I took this to mean this was a very fortuitous essence. My heart was exploding with bliss. It was a very nectary, blissful energy already. So I went to the hives and I couldn't hear any activity. I was a little bit concerned, so I put my ear against the hive and I could hear them in there. They're okay. And then this little scout came out, little bee. He sat on top of the hive and I put my finger next to him and I said, is it okay to make the bee essence now? And he put his little arm up and he gave me a high five. I said to my friend, he's giving me a high five. He said, I know, I can see. And I found out a couple of days later that they smell through their feet. So he was really checking me out. So I thought, well, this is all very good. So I placed the water and I left some pollen for them because I'd taken pollen with me.
Stop.
And I put intentions into the water and prayers for divine loving spirit, archangels, angel spirit guides, nature spirits, working for the greater good of the bees, to help them for the greater good because they've been struggling so much. And I asked the bees through this essence to help humanity. So there was a sharing, and I did the Medicine Buddha mantra and Green Tara mantra for the bees to assist them as a blessing for making the essence. And then we left and we went into town, and it's a beautiful May day. And we went and sat and had a tea outside a cafe, and honeybees were coming up to us. And as we left town, honeybees were dancing around here. It was quite bizarre. And then we went to a little place where there's a spring, fresh water, sacred spring. And next to this little bit of spring water that was coming out down the road, there was a little honeybee. So I gave him a little bit of pollen, and he was having a drink of water at the time, and that was beautiful. And then when I went back to bottle the essence, there was a beautiful buzzard that just flew out of a tree, and this little chocolate Egyptian cat, it was a real cat but chocolate colour, it just appeared. And then I went to collect the essence, and there was a couple of pieces of pollen on the side of the pot, and I put one in my mouth. It burnt my tongue. I just thought, my God, what is this? And then I realised it was the blackthorn pollen, which is all the flowers up the drove where the bees were. It was blackthorn, and it was absolutely pungent, really powerful, an incredible taste. Because my pollen was very different to that I'd gifted them with. And so there was also a little bit of pollen in the essence that they'd left. And it was still a very blissful, nectary feeling. And I took that essence all that week. And I just felt this beautiful, golden, blissful energy. And I just felt like I was just being. I was allowed to just be. Whatever I was doing, stress wasn't getting to me. I was just really relaxed. And that week, I looked on the internet and found John Harding, who is a leading expert on bees, and he's been researching why the bees have been dying. And in this country, the bees are forced often to grow in a horizontal hive, whereas in the wild, they like to grow vertically so that their temperature is easier to control, and always over freshwater streams. So he suggests that we douse the freshwater streams and we help our bees to grow upwards so that they can control their temperature and not get ill. A pot of this essence went back to Nepal with a Tibetan Buddhist Rinpoche, and a pot went back to Pine Ridge Reservation with a Lakota Sioux elder within a few weeks of making it. And I was selling out at festivals and fairs, and I was asked to go to a bee ceremony and spray everybody mid-ceremony. absolutely incredible medicine. The bees have done an amazing job to help me and others to understand why they're dying, and hopefully we've been able to bless them along the way as well. So that was exquisite. And this is the bee essence. Like I said before, just a squirt over your head and you just let it settle around you, and it just brings you into the heart and just helps you to connect with nature in quite a profound way.
Oh, I can feel my hair growing. That's amazing stuff, isn't it? So, what is the next one you want to show us, Juliet?
Okay, Temple of Crete. So, this one, I went to Crete with my husband on our honeymoon, and everywhere there was these beautiful gold bee pendants, and it was because of bees we got married. But we went to this beautiful temple by the sea, where this bee pendant was found. And my husband and I felt incredible bliss and harmony there, really peaceful, it was so beautiful. And that year I found a snake skin just outside the temple. And then the following year I went back with some friends, well, we went back with some friends, and I found another snake skin in the same place. And then about a year later, I had a healing, a shiatsu healing, and I went back to the temple in my mind. And I saw many of us get taken by a tidal wave. I presume I must have been living there in the past. And I was in the etheric thinking, why did that happen? Why? Why did that happen? And then I went back in my own house in my mind and saw all the Cretan things that I had in my house and realised that I had a deep part of me connected with Crete. And that week on the telly there was a programme about Crete and how the tidal wave had come and the volcano had stopped people breathing. And all of that week and for many weeks after I had problems with breathing. And then that healed and everything was okay. And then a year later I had another shiatsu, and I went back in my mind to the temple and I said, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Because there was so much harmony there. And I was told that this temple space had reached its zenith in harmony. It couldn't go any further in harmony and bliss. So it was taken by the ocean and made an etheric of, etheric temple above in spirit form. And that now I knew this, my full soul would come back to me and it would help me with the work that I was doing. I'd already made the bee essence. So instead of making an essence of the snake skin, which I was expecting to do, my son and I were looking for the snake nest when we went. We couldn't find it. But on the floor next to where the snakes were was this 12-pointed star. And I thought, a snake couldn't make that. What is it? And I looked and I realised that it was a termite colony. So there was this beautiful 12-pointed star laid out on Earth, like symbology of connecting heaven to Earth, the etheric temple to Earth. And who are the best at living in community on the Earth? The termites. They're incredible. They're masters of community living. So, okay, Earth, you're speaking to me here. This is where I have to make the essence. So I asked the termites if it's okay. I placed the water and I asked the etheric temple essence to come in at the same time. So we're creating heaven on Earth in this essence, really. Then I went to the sea with my family and we had a little play. And I thought, right, I'll look for some more ancient pottery that I found last time I was here. And I walked around the corner, and to my absolute amazement, there was a huge heart in the pebbles made of lots of pieces of ancient pottery from the ancient temple site. So to me, this was like the temple coming back and giving me its love, literally in symbolism, right in front of me. Someone obviously made it for a completely different reason, but that was how I received it. It was a joy, and this was whilst the temple essence was being made. So here we have Earth and the ancient temple speaking by this symbol of a heart, a red terracotta heart in the grey pebbles, which was incredible, another beautiful piece of synchronic symbolism. And so my whole family were there when I made this essence as well, and normally it's just me or one other. So we have the whole family as part of this essence. My son carried the water. Just incredible. So when I went back to bottle the essence, the light was incredible, and there was this little termite on the top of the water having a drink. They were quite happy for it to be there. They weren't all attacking it, going, oh, what's this foreign body in our colony? They were very happy. And this little termite was having a drink of the essence. So what better blessing is there than that? So I bottled the essence, and this is what we have here. So when I need to have a bit of temple life, I squirt this either around myself or in my space, and then I immediately feel the harmony. And this has got all the herbs that you would expect in Crete, like basil, rose geranium, white thyme, lemon, and jasmine. It's just really beautiful. So you're getting the herbal healing as well as the essence of the termites and the temple. Beautiful one. So I'll just spray that now. So would you like to spray on that one?
Which is absolutely amazing stuff. What I immediately get is a picture of ancient stones which raise their frequency to that of light, and around me is just a feeling of complete peace.
This one also, when people lived in Minoan times,
yeah,
when the temple was active, the boys were taught to bull jump and to wrestle. They had no concept of war, and this civilization were one of the best at creating gold jewelry and quartz and crystal jewelry and beautiful clothes. I saw a jeweler when we went this time, and they cannot reproduce this gold pendant anymore as they did then. It's just exquisite craftsmanship. So they really did have a wonderful way of living with nature and being creative and living in harmony and balance.
Are you going to show us today as well?
This is a green Tara essence. This one, I had a beautiful experience from reading a book on feng shui. And it had in there a prayer of Medicine Buddha to help with healing. So I did this prayer for myself and had an incredible healing result. And I did it on my nan, who just had a cancerous lump cut out of her head. And she didn't take painkillers, and she was very well straight after having this done. It was just incredible. So I really wanted to understand Medicine Buddha more. But the first retreat that came was Green Tara. So a Tibetan Buddhist Rinpoche came locally and was doing the Green Tara Mantra retreat. So for 3 days I went and practiced the Tara empowerment and did the Buddhist practice of Green Tara, who is for relieving fear, clearing obstacles, relieving pain, and helping people to heal their hearts, come into their hearts and open their hearts.
Shall we sing the Green Tara Mantra together?
Yeah. I've got a specific way of singing it. Do you mind if I show you that?
Okay.
In a second, or now.
Now?
Yeah, okay. So we'll do the Green Tara Mantra. And this is how I've adopted it. To The first time that I left the retreat and went somewhere to do the Tara practice, I did it in the sea, in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And I drew a heart around me in the sea, and I started doing the Tara mantra. I had a tickle under my left foot, it was a crab, a tickle on my right foot, and a fish, a tickle under my right foot, a crab, and a tickle on my right foot, a fish. So I had two crabs and two fish. I was crying tears of joy. I could not believe that this had happened. This is the magic of Tara. She brings nature as well and helps us to open our hearts to nature. She is just incredible, and she's there as quick as a flash to help. Our children can do the mantra and they love it as well. It's a beautiful thing. So on doing the mantra over the water, I realised once I got it all together and sprayed the first drops, that the 108 mantras that I put in turns into thousands of particles. When each particle separates and goes out into the atmosphere, we're getting a thousandfold mantra, which is such a blessing. It's incredible. And I've used beautiful essential oils in this to open the heart and lift and bring freshness and natural freshness and natural green smells into it. It's beautiful.
thank you
Tara for the blessing in the pot.
So yes, probeer ish, the green Tara spray. Ooh. What can one say? The feeling is it's so personal, so individual. Whatever I say it may be right for me, but it's not going to be right for you. Everybody is going to get their own personal reaction, personal experience with using the green Tara. And all I can say is, do it.
What you gonna do with my heart? Oh, what you gonna do with my heart? Since I gave it to you, well, you've torn it apart. So what you gonna do with my heart? So when you gonna change your damn ways? So when you gonna change your low-down ways? There are rights and wrongs in this life, I know. That's what my mama says. Well, when are you gonna change your damn ways? Well, is it why? Is it when? Well, all these questions must come to an end. I want all those nagging demons raced on out the door. You give me so much honey, but I need
That was the John Langan Band and Pumpkin Pie, and before that, Kidnap Alice and What Are You Gonna Do With My Heart. Before that was Karma Singh talking with Juliet Cotter about the subtle business of essences and how they can affect human consciousness and physical well-being. I was well aware when I was doing the editing for this that it was one of the stranger subjects that we've covered on the Dr. Rock Show. Though Juliet is far from the strangest person I've met, and it's far from the strangest stuff that I've come across what she's doing. I really do think that it's easy to ignore or knock the kind of magical nature of the world that we as conscious beings are finding ourselves in. And personally, my personal experience of Juliet's essences especially, but of other essences as well, is that they are incredibly effective under certain circumstances with certain people. And one of the things that that Karma makes quite apparent in his writings is that what we believe is really, really important to what happens to us. And so cynicism is one of the things that we really do need to perhaps guard a little bit against. I think a sense of adventure and experimentation amongst these safer technologies would be worth investigating, shall we say. But that, as you know, is coming from an individual who regularly does ceremonies which reconnect electromagnetic circuits in the human body to various forms of element and to geometries and to fire and crystals and the rest of it. And I have myself experienced the extraordinary power of many of these complementary therapies. I was not a fit and healthy individual when I came to Wales 20-odd years ago. And I really felt, after my encounters with the Not Healthy Service, who had done me absolutely no service at all, that, you know, basically that was it, that I wasn't going to make old bones, that I wouldn't be able to do hard physical work or gardening anymore, because basically I was knackered. I was covered in pain, I had pains in my joints, I was getting crippling headaches, I was just all manner of things, and they were, you know, they were seriously impeding my ability to live my life the way I wanted to live it. Since I've encountered things like these essences, like the batch flower essences, like the Bowen technique, like kinesiology, like the template ceremonies, I have become a much healthier, much happier person. And these are the technologies that I would personally turn to as various crises arise in my life. And I think the most important thing to bear in mind, which I really couldn't bring to you because we lost the first hour of the show today, is that the nature of our world is plastic. It is malleable to consciousness. What we are seeing turn up in front of us, what we are seeing turn up in the world, what we are seeing manifesting in our own bodies and our own heads and in the bodies and heads of our friends are as much the result of what we believe and how we interact with the world as they are the result of the world itself. The world is not happening to us, it is happening because of us. And if we want to ensure that it continues to happen to us instead of because of us, then all we need to do is maintain our cynicism rather than a sense of genuine experimentation and finding out what the experience is of being here. So I'd really like to thank Juliet for the time she's putting into doing the extraordinary essences, and to Karma for the time that he spent with me earlier today talking about healing and the administrative nature of certain parts of the world we're in as well. I really enjoyed both of the chats. Hopefully you did as well. I can see that there's some appreciation in the chat box for what Juliet is doing, which is really great. I should be back with you again next week. This weekend's going to be spent at a medicine music festival, so we're going to be looking at how sound can be used to make people healthier and to help them recover from whatever illnesses and disadvantages they've got. This is going to be a completely new experience for me. I've got some experience in colour therapy and many other things, but apart from an extremely impressive gong bath that I had once, I haven't really investigated how sound works on the human body. But given that everything is resonance, everything is a waveform, I think it's pretty safe to assume that coherent waveforms from outside us are probably going to help. So I'm not sure who I'm going to meet there or who I'm going to talk to or what about, but I'm pretty sure something will come of it. And also, as I say, hopefully in the not-too-distant future, I'll be coming to you with a chat with Dan and Amy about the fantastic work they're doing out on Plotgate. In the meantime, thanks very much to everybody who's been keeping my seat warm for the last 4 weeks of chaos. Hopefully my appearance here will be a little more regular from now on, although things are still pretty challenging. But I should be back with you next week. The week after that, we will be at Fire in the Mountain Festival. I will have to find a router there because I know it's an absolute dead spot on absolutely all the mobile networks. But I would like to come to you actually live from the first night of the festival if I can. But I'll be seeing you next week. I'd like to, this has been a new open source operating system installation, which once it was working, has worked very well. Thanks to everybody, especially Tim and Vin, for helping me get it online. And of course, especially thanks to you all for being out there and for being so active in the chat box.